On Jordan's bank, the Baptist's cry announces that the Lord is nigh. Awake, prepare. There is a fierceness about John the Baptist. Now, this year, we don't hear him call us a brood of vipers, do we? You were probably waiting for that, right? It's what we remember. Yes, but we're on a 3-year cycle of readings, and we don't get that this year, but we know it's in him, that fierceness, that drive that led him to challenge and to invite people to a new way of life, one enabled and sustained by the grace of God, by the advent of the Christ, Jesus. Now, you know, here we are waiting for Christmas, and again, this is not a birth story. It's not even heading in to the birth story. Rather, here is John, the cousin of Jesus, and he and Jesus are grown men. John is announcing the start of Jesus' public ministry. Jesus is coming to be our refuge and our great reward, our salvation. Awake, prepare. As I listened to the music of the Chamber Music Society of Central Virginia this past Tuesday, I'm not sure what it was. Maybe the tempo, maybe the energy generated by the instruments and the men and women in the group. All that combined with the things on my mind and on my heart, the idea of fierceness came to me, that this is a time of fierceness. While Advent, of course, we always say it's to be a more quiet time of preparing and slowing down, still there is a fierceness about this time, a spirit that will not be silenced or sidelined, a spirit and energy that is determined. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming into our midst, yes, as a baby and a young man on a mission, and as the eternal Christ, to us, being about us and our world. There is a fierceness and determination about John the Baptist and Isaiah and Mary, the mother of Jesus. You'll hear more about that next week, and I bet Grant will address it. The people who filled our minds and imaginations, who fill our minds and imaginations every year during Advent, all of these people were about a new thing. God doing a new thing, a new creation, possible then and possible now. There's so much going on in our world that calls for fierceness, a fierceness that insists on truth and justice. There's a fierceness and a strength in the air. Who has not noticed the many women coming forward with courage and strength to call men of power to account? When people are mistreated, when people are dismissed, when people are stereotyped or profiled, what is our response? What is it? Perhaps a fierceness that comes from love for all these people, for all God's children. You might have noticed that our Christmas banner is up outside between the two big trees. Well, before that banner went up, we had the banner that says in English, Spanish, and Arabic, "No matter where you are from, we are glad you're our neighbors." We had that banner up a long time. Some of you might have thought, too long. Why is that banner still up? But that banner is really needed. About a month ago, and then again, just in the last week before the Christmas banner went up, that other banner was vandalized. The banner has, "No matter where you're from, we are glad you're our neighbor," at the top, first in Spanish, then in English, and then in Arabic. And the Arabic's on the bottom. Someone, I assume it's the same person, twice turned up the bottom part and attached it to the banner so that you could not read the Arabic. Both times I saw that, I thought, don't mess with my banner, right? Don't be messing with my banner, our banner. I felt the fierceness, right, coming up. Do you feel it? And it's not because it's about the banner, right? It's not really the banner that's being attacked. It's an entire group of people who are our friends and our neighbors, God's beloved. How much do we need that banner? A lot. How much do we need our fierceness to be about God's dream for the world? A lot. Do you agree? Yes. All right, all the things going on. So what does God's dream for the world look like? And why does Jesus come to be with us? Listen again to Isaiah, to his fierceness. First, where does that fierceness for Isaiah come from? He says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, sent me to bring," hear all those action verbs, "to bring the good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to strengthen the spirits of those who are faint-hearted." And with the fierceness of the movement of the Spirit, God's people, those who hear Isaiah's message, those who have been freed from all that oppresses, they shall build up. They are then able to raise up and repair the ruined cities. When Jesus was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah in the temple, these were the words he read, you will remember. And then he said that in him these words have been fulfilled, and that he is the fulfillment, that he is the incarnation of God's love and justice. Jesus lived those words. And we who live in Christ, we continue this way of healing and hope, of justice and truth. In what Jesus said, there is a fierceness. There is a determination that comes from knowing God and knowing oneself. As followers of the way of Jesus, we are both prophet and the ones who continue to receive the good news proclaimed by Isaiah and Jesus. We have received the Spirit. We have been anointed to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. And when our hearts are broken, when we need freedom from what oppresses, we are here for each other. We're here for each other to strengthen and support each other. When we need freedom, it is God who comes to us once again and again and again with healing and hope. In these days of Advent, we are preparing our hearts by being real about our lives, opening ourselves, our hearts to God, for Jesus to be born in them again this Christmas. This is the life of faith. This is the journey into Christ. Everything's not perfect now, far from it, in our lives and in our world. But we know something of God, and we know something of ourselves, who we are in God. And we see the dream, we have the vision, we live in the hope, and we act to make it so more and more, day by day, one day at a time. This is the life of faith, the journey into Christ. Samuel Wells, the vicar of St. Martin's in the Field, London, and Abigail Kocher, pastor of congregational life at Oak Ridge United Methodist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. They have written a book of Eucharistic prayers for every Sunday of the three-year Revised Common Lectionary cycle. It's quite an achievement. This means that each Eucharistic prayer incorporates words and images from the readings and themes for every Sunday. If you're not quite sure what I'm talking about, right now we have four approved Eucharistic prayers that we use. They have one for every single Sunday. So I'd like to conclude my reflection for today with a portion, the closing portion, of their Eucharistic prayer for this Sunday, the third Sunday of Advent, Year B. Let us pray. God of justice, you send your Spirit upon your people in their wilderness. Bring good news to the oppressed and all who live with the chains of debt. Bind up the brokenhearted and any who languish in the slavery of another's scheming or the exile of their own folly. Proclaim liberty to the captives and those who live under the shadow of fear at home, at work, or in their neighborhood. Announce release to the prisoners and to all who are incarcerated by their own body or the travails of their own mind. Usher in the year of your favor and deliver your people from sin and guilt and addiction and shame. Provide for those who mourn that they may have a garland instead of ashes and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Show us your face, everlasting God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.